Turning your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles 15. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'm going to read the first 15 verses. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel has been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city. For God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of the Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word that you've given us. Lord, we pray that we would also have a heart that would desire to seek thee. Amen. Lord, convict us. Help us, Lord, to draw closer to thee. We pray above all things, Father, that you would be glorified this morning and magnified. We thank you. We love you. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, there's probably untold millions of sermons that you can get out of the scriptures. Probably there is, it's inexhaustible. You probably couldn't get to the end of it. And yet, it seems like every time I'm going to preach, I struggle so much just to find what to preach. You know, I had been invited to go to a get-together for this Saturday, this past Saturday. And I had told my wife, you know, I think I've got the message since Monday. And, of course, I went on and studied, and I said, I think I've got it made. And then come Friday, I don't feel good about it. And I feel like I need to feel that this is something that God wants me to preach. Amen. So at Friday night at 12 midnight, I began to on another topic. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm so happy I'm through. I said, man, I've got it. I went to bed at 4, and the next day I'm about traveling through the streets, doing some of the things I had to do, and next thing I know, I'm just don't feel comfortable. And at 12 noon Saturday, and I'm supposed to go that afternoon to a party, I said, I don't have it. This is not it. And as I'm traveling, I pick up my Bible, I put it in my armrest in my truck, and I flip over and I get to this passage here. 2 Chronicles 15. And you know, the thing is that I had already come to this passage two other times. Several weeks ago, I had told Adrian, I said, you know, verse 2 really speaks to me. He says, if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And I said, this really excites me. And of course, during the week also, I had also flipped. I had been studying the King Manasseh. And I flipped over and I said, well, let me look for something else. And I landed here. So three times I landed here. And I said, Lord, this must be something you want me to preach to the church. So I decided to go with it. At 6 o'clock this morning, as I was still studying, I said, you know, I think this is exactly what the Lord wanted me to preach. Let me tell you first of all about Manasseh. I found so many things about him. He really interests me simply because he was a king that was so wicked. Manasseh had a good dad. His father was Hezekiah. And of course, Hezekiah, if you remember the story, if you're a Bible reader, he had been given 15 years to live. Isaiah had told him, and the Lord, of course, granted when he cried. And he said, you know what? The Lord has given you 15 years. So Manasseh was 12 when he took over. That means that he had lived 12, or rather, his dad Hezekiah already knew that he was going to die 2 years when Manasseh was born. So there's no doubt in my mind that he trained Manasseh real good, that he brought him up in the nurture and admonition. Hezekiah was a good king. And he brought him up to teach him the right thing, knowing already, I'm going to die in 12 more years. I've only got a few years with my son. I need to teach him the right things. And you know, lo and behold, Manasseh does everything the reverse. He takes over at the age of 12. And he begins to do everything contrary to how he had been taught. He began to just forsake God. He would basically laugh at God's face. He made his own idols. He placed his own idols in the temple of God. Anything just to provoke God, and he caused everybody to err and to worship a false God. This guy was so bad, so mean. Nevertheless, the Lord will spank you. It doesn't matter how mean you are or how bad you think you are, the Lord will spank you. And that's exactly what he did with Manasseh. The Lord sent somebody to go out there and go whip him. Then they wind up taking him captive and they took him through the thorns. And of course they kept him captive and then Manasseh began to cry to the Lord. Amen. He began to repent. And you know the thing is that God heard his cry and he came in and saved him and got him out of there and restored him back into his kingdom. You know, the Apostle Paul says, I am the chief of all sinners. But if you would really categorize and put down all the sins of all these people, there's no doubt in my mind Manasseh would probably be in the top five. Maybe even number one in the Old Testament. This guy was really bad. But you know, when he cried unto the Lord, we have a merciful God who is always ready to listen. It don't matter how bad you have been. He's always ready to listen to the cry of those who really humble themselves. And he says that Manasseh greatly humbled himself. The Lord brought him out. But you know, the story is that Manasseh started bad and he ended good. But then I go on to chapter 15 and I read about another king. And this king is the complete opposite. This king started out real good and ended real bad. You know, it reminded me of what the Lord said in Matthew 21. He says, there was a man who had two sons. And he's talking to religious people. And he said, he went and told the first son, he says, go and work in my vineyard all day. And the son said, I will not. And then he went. And then he told the second son, he says, son, go and work in my vineyard all day. He says, I will that. And then he didn't. He says, which one did the will of my father? And of course, it's an obvious conclusion. Everybody said, well, the first son, he's the one that went. You know, it kind of reminds me of these two kings. One started bad and then he does good. The other one starts good and then he goes bad. And I began to think, you know, I wonder if this is how we are. I wonder if the Lord really wanted me to look at this and say, you know, this is what Ognol is all about. They have started real good. But somehow they have fallen off the path. And I have told them and seen preachers to them, and they still are going wrong. And I'm going to have to spank them. I began to think that way. I began to see this. Especially because I know how this church is. This church has started real good, has sent out missionaries, has so many preachers. A lot of them preaching the streets. We've got some good brothers. Nevertheless, we just finished from a revival. 6,000 so tracts were given. When I came over here the first day, I said, man, it's going to be really crowded. This is a whole church thing. I saw only a few. And every day was only a few. Only one day, Wednesday night, we had a bigger crowd. The rest of the night, very few. And it makes me wonder whether this is what the Lord wants us to see. We started out good. Maybe we're going bad. You know, in the scriptures, we never see that we have been dismissed from war. We are in a battle. We're supposed to go out and fight, and this is a spiritual warfare. It's not a physical warfare, but it is a real warfare. God has given us the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith and the sword. And most Christians think that God has sounded the retreat. God doesn't sound a retreat.
That's right.
He doesn't tell you, okay, it's time to take an R&R. You know, most soldiers, when they go out to the battlefields and they go out to war, they always send the soldiers that have been fighting for a while, they send them in R&R, rest and recreation, to give them a little rest. During the Vietnam era, I think a lot of them were going to Hawaii. But nevertheless, some Christians now believe that maybe the Lord has given us R&R. We see in the scriptures where they did take a little rest. They would go, the Lord would take them to the garden to rest. Of course, he would go to pray. And it seems like a lot of the Christians don't want to come back. You know, there were people during the Civil War that that would go out to war, and then after a while they'd give them a break from the front, and they send them home to take a break to go see their parents. A lot of them didn't go back. But a lot of them were so faithful, they still went back to finish the war, to go out and fight for their country. But it seems like we haven't done it. It seems like we have lost the zeal. You know, we think sometimes that that maybe we have done real good, like Manasseh had, or rather Asa had done real good. But you know, Asa, beloved, he had they had gotten so zealous. Once they were rebuked by the prophet, they decided, you know what, we need to really get zealous for the Lord, and they did. They got so zealous that it got to the point where they said, you know what, we're going to make a covenant with God, and anyone that doesn't seek the Lord, we're just going to kill him. Whether his mother, whether his father, whether his son, man or woman, great or small, we're going to kill him. That's what the Bible says. It says here on chapter 15, on verse 12, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Now, whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. You know, the Lord never rebuked them for that. They were really zealous for the Lord to the point of, we'll kill somebody if we have to. The Lord never rebuked them. You know, this is the problem also with the Laodicean church. They thought that they were so rich that they had no need of nothing. But the church that was really working for the Lord, they had also lost their first love. The Lord is very concerned with your first love.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that I saw during the revival, I saw a little boy about 10 years old. He was so excited to go out and put tracks on those doors. And he would say, oh, I ran and I did them, and I wouldn't allow nobody else. I was so excited. Do you remember when you used to be excited?
Amen.
I remember when I got saved, I was so excited. I wanted to tell everybody about the Lord. And it got to the point that I remember one time me and my wife were praying in our home. It was at night. We were just newly saved. We hadn't been saved that long. We were both kneeling down by our bed. And we had our hands raised up and we were crying out to the Lord. Oh, it felt so good. Amen. After that, we said, man, I could almost feel that the Lord was there with me. But I left that. Some of you came and some of you didn't. Some of you came, but I wonder if your heart was really in it. I know I suffer from that. How many times I would have to come and say, oh, I got things to do in my ranch. I got to cut the yard. I've got to do this. I need to go there. I need to go look at this and look at that. But yet, I would be here, but where was my heart? You know, the Lord says, you're here with me. He said, but your heart is far from me.
Amen.
I wonder if that was your case. Maybe you were here, but you really weren't here. Maybe you went out and hung some tracks, but it really didn't bother you. You really didn't care. You really didn't pray. You really didn't try to seek the Lord. Why is it that 6,000 tracks were given and we only had one visitor? Has the Lord lost His power? He hasn't lost His power. I think we lost the power. It is God's Word. God's Word was being preached. God's Word was being given and handed to people and given in their doors where they could read it, and we only had one person. Maybe the Lord's trying to tell us something. You know what this guy did? They humbled themselves so greatly that God gave them rest. And that's what I read to you. I didn't get to the other part. But God blessed them so much that He gave them rest because they really meant business. But you know, later on, you know, the Lord is in the business of testing you, to trying your heart, just to, not because the Lord doesn't know your heart. He knows your heart.
Right.
He tests you just to, so that you can see your own heart, to see what are you going to do. So the Lord sent somebody to go and trouble. He sent Israel, the other 10 nations, to come in and build something right there close to it where his people, and Judah and Benjamin, would not be able to come in or go out. And instead of him calling on the Lord, he decides to call an ally. He calls Syria, the king of Syria. He says, hey, let me send you some gold and some silver. And you know, we used to have a league with you. Can you please come and take care of our light work? He's bothering us. And that's exactly what Syria did. The king of Syria came in and knocked out Israel and did the work for Asa. You know what it speaks to me about, if this is really a type of this church, is Asa is a type of us and represents us. You know what it's showing me here? That sometimes we have gotten so comfortable because we have been doing well. We have started out real good. We got missionaries all over, and we can boast that we have people here that give, that preach, and that pray, and that try to seek the Lord, and maybe we're just too comfortable. So what do we see Asa doing? He calls somebody and says, hey, look, I'm going to pay you. Do the work for me. Maybe you're here and you think that your money, that your gold and your silver is all that we need. Maybe you think that you shouldn't have to be out here with us and go out to the work. You think that, I'm already giving money. I'm already supporting. Do you think that God would say, well, that's good enough? Or maybe you think that God has no power to use you. Maybe you say, well, I'm not that versed. I'm not that good. I'm getting kind of old. I can't walk so good. We had a lady here that can barely walk, and she was here all the time. We had a man with so much high blood pressure that every time he'd go up those hills, he had to stop and take a break. And yet he was here all the time.
Amen.
But you know, as I thought, this is what I'll do. I'll just give my money. I'll get somebody to do the fighting for me. I think it speaks of our church, maybe not of our church, maybe just of an individual here, or maybe a whole bunch of you. It might not even be our church. It might just be some of you that are here that you think that all I have to do is give my money. I don't have to really go to church. I'll let somebody else do the fighting for me. Is this how you feel? You know, let me take you back to chapter 15 on verse 2. Second Chronicles 15, verse 2. On the latter part, he says, if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. You know, I began to ponder on that because that's not something new. I was talking to Adrian about it, and we were thinking, you know, I said, you know, this appears all over the Bible. I said, I'm going to research it. And sure enough, as I began to research, it goes all the way to Cain and Abel. All the way to Cain and Abel, this same doctrine, this same teaching of God is right there for us to see. When Cain came over, he was upset because God wouldn't accept his sacrifice. And God says, why are you wroth with me? Why are you upset? If you do good, it'll be good for you. And if you not, then sin lies at the door. In other words, you know what sin does, Cain? Look what it did to your mom and dad. You know what it does. But if you do good, it'll go good for you, Cain. And that's exactly what we see throughout the scriptures. We see Moses doing the same thing. Right before Moses departed from this world, right before he died, he was talking to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. And he says, look, I'm giving you a choice. You either got life or you've got death. That's what God offers you. He gives you a blessing or he gives you a cursing. You take your pick. I wish that you would take life. Amen. This is what he said. This is exactly what he's saying here. You seek the Lord, he will be with you. You forsake him, he'll forsake you. But you know, Joshua was present. He listened. He learned. And also when it was his time to depart, he told his people the same thing. He said, you know, choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. As for me, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
But you know, he also says, you know, God will bless you. But if he don't, if you forsake him, he will do you hurt after he has done you good. He uses those words. Just in case maybe somebody didn't understand the word curse, he will either bless you or curse you. Sometimes some of the words that we use in this language, the edge has been taken because it's used so many times. People use the word curse so many times that it might not have no meaning. Maybe the word hurt has a meaning. It's the same thing. God is not like us. If you seek him, you will find him. There's no ifs and buts on that. It's a promise. You will find him. But if you don't, he'll forsake you.
That's right.
And that's exactly what Joshua said. He says, hey, if you turn from him, he will do you hurt after he has done you good. And that's exactly what we see in the scriptures. Look at David. So you see, when Asa was told this, he didn't have to wonder, I wonder if the Lord is really telling the truth. All he had to do was look back at history, and he could see that God's always been consistent. When David had been blessed of God so much, but then he got to the point that he sinned with Bathsheba. And of course, Bathsheba, she's not really to blame. She was just taking a shower. She didn't know that the king was looking. He was supposed to be at war. He wasn't supposed to be there, so she's taking a bath, and he's looking. And this is what happens with us when we just hang around and we're not doing the work of the Lord. The devil's going to work on your mind. And that's exactly what was happening to David. And even though he had been blessed so much and he loved the Lord, once he partook of this, the Bible says, God says, you despised me. When you despise the Lord, when you sin against God, you despise the Lord. What happened to David after that? The sword never departed.
Right.
The Lord had to spank him, and it was a continuous spanking, a hard spanking, so that anybody can see, man, I better stay straight. We see also Rehoboam also had the same problem. He had done real well. But then all of a sudden he forsook the Lord, and the Lord sent an army to go and whip him. Told him the same thing. He said, you have forsaken me, therefore I have also left you in the hand of the Egyptians. That's what the prophet went and told him. So here, beloved, we have also, Asa had also started real good, and he's told the same thing. You know, if you seek the Lord, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will also forsake you.
That's right.
Maybe Some of you might be confused with the word that's spoken in the book of Romans. There is none that seeks after God. Maybe you think that there's no use to seek after God because he says there is none that seeks after God. You know, that's a true statement. It speaks of all of us. We don't seek after God. As a whole, as in our natural state, even as spiritual people, we don't seek after the Lord. That is true. But it's not saying you cannot seek the Lord. It doesn't say that you will seek me in vain. He says, no man seeketh after God. That's why you have to be private. That's why you have to be told you need to seek the Lord. That's exactly what he's saying here. If you seek him, you will find him. There is none that seeketh after God. But you know, Jesus even said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all the other things which shall be added on to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and he shall open. Yes. You see, so it's not that you can't seek the Lord. It's just that you won't seek the Lord. No man seeketh after God, but does he want you to seek? He wants you to seek. Or maybe you have thought about another verse that you might have read in the book of Proverbs. He said, they shall seek me early and not find me. They shall seek me early and not find me. But if you read what it says, it's in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. Right before that, he's talking to those that are about to die, who have been called and called and called, who the Lord has extended his hand and called them and called them, and they wanted nothing to do with God. They didn't want to go to the meetings. They didn't want to participate. They didn't want to pray. They didn't want to seek the Lord. He said, they will seek me early when that tribulation comes. When they're about to die, when that which they fear comes upon them, then they shall seek me early and they shall not find me. That's where it's at. It doesn't say that that you can't reach the Lord. You can always reach the Lord. Amen. It don't matter how bad you have been. And of course, as I said a while ago, Manasseh was probably the worst king that ever lived. Probably the worst person that ever lived because he caused everybody to sin. He even killed innocent people. This man sinned in the presence of God in his holy place. He desecrated. He did everything that was bad. He made his own idols and then he worshiped his own idols. He made his sons to pass through the fire. This man was bad. And yet when he cried to the Lord, he was found of him. That's what the Bible teaches. But you know, I want you to go now to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to show you a man who was also seeking, but he didn't find. Hebrews 12 verse 17. He says, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He sought it carefully with tears. I wonder, maybe we're just too dry-eyed in this church. Yeah. We just don't cry. We don't seek the Lord with all our heart. Maybe we just seek him with our lips. Something is terribly wrong. Doors are not being opened. I know we're in the last days. I know that it's supposed to get real bad. But God hasn't lost his power. Amen. God can still save.
That's right.
God can still use us. If we would just trust in him and not get somebody else to do our work. But he said he sought it carefully with tears. I went to Beeville and visited an aunt of mine who has a son in prison. He's my cousin. He's been there most of his life. And I saw a little cartoon that he wrote from prison. It was a cartoon of Tweety Bird. And Tweety Bird was crying one tear. And in the bottom he says, oh, I think it's just a little basura, a little speck of dirt. I think that's what it is. It almost made me cry to see it. I know what he was trying to say. I could read the picture behind it. I could read the underlining. He was saying, Mom, I love you so much, but I can't tell you. Mom, I cry for you, but I can't shed a tear. I wonder if that's the way we are. We can't shed a tear for our Lord. We can't seek the Lord. I've got a brother of mine, a half-brother that's in prison. He's now there for 35 years. Never could learn anything. Just decided to be mean. Before my dad passed away, he sent a letter. He says, please don't tell me when my dad dies. I don't want to hear. Because I don't want to cry here in prison. Is that how we are? We're afraid to shed a tear for the Lord. This man sought it carefully with tears, he says. I don't think that that Esau was just shedding a little tear that he was just holding his eye. I don't think that he was just blowing his nose a little bit. The Bible said that he cried extremely loud. That he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. This man was really seeking. This man would tell his dad, but Dad, come on, Dad. Don't you have one more blessing for me? Just bless me, Dad. He couldn't. It had already been done. But you know, his tears were not tears of repentance. His tears were tears of hate. His tears were tears of malice. He says, oh, as soon as Dad dies, I'm going to get that brother of mine. He's already fooled me twice. I ain't going to let him get away with it no more. I'm going to get him. That's why his brother had to flee. But he sought it carefully with tears. Yes, he did. He just didn't repent. And maybe you're here today and you're not saved. You haven't asked the Lord to save your soul. You know, you don't have to cry, but something says needs to repent. It needs to be your heart. I know everybody's different. When I repented of my sins and asked the Lord to save me, I cried a whole bunch. I haven't stopped crying. I still cry every time I sit here, and this is the area where I normally sit. I cry when the songs are being sung. I know that I was a sinner bound for hell, amen, but I repented of my sins, and I know the Lord saved me. And I can't stop crying. I thank Him so much for saving my soul. Amen. I hope I never stop crying. I want to keep on crying until I get to heaven. But you know, this man sought it carefully with tears. It says here, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. The reason for the rejection, beloved, is that he didn't repent. He didn't find nothing in his heart to repent. In other words, that's the key. Jesus says, I am the door. You want to open that door? The key is repentance. That's the password. You want to pass from death to life, you need to repent. You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus. This is the only way you're going to be saved. This man could have been saved. The Bible says he would have inherited the blessing. He would have inherited the blessing, but he didn't want to repent. Instead, he wanted to get upset. That's exactly what Asa did. After he was told, look, this is what you've done. You've forsaken the Lord. You hired somebody else to do your work. And now the Lord's going to spank you. He wound up getting deceased in his feet. But did he repent? He did the exact same thing as Esau. He would not repent. He went to his grave sick all the time of his feet. He would not repent. You know, he says here that he was rejected. You know, in this world, beloved, you'll always be rejected. You need to get used to it. I'm used to it. Especially as you get older, you get more rejections. Now that I've quit my job and I've been wanting to get another one, I see that I'm being rejected because I'm old. It's not like when you were young, you'll always be rejected, but who cares? The thing is that if you got a place to live, you got a place to eat, you ought to be thankful. The thing is that if you're saved, you've been accepted into the Beloved. You don't have to worry about what the world says or whether they reject you or not. I want to go back again to the text, back again to 2 Chronicles. I want to go now to chapter 16. Asa did not want to repent. He had been told, I want you to look at verse 7. Chapter 16, verse 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with very much chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. You know, let me finish on verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. That's what the prophet said. In other words, the Lord is looking to see. You don't have to worry about the eyes of Texas. They always say the eyes of Texas are upon you. It's the eyes of the Lord. They're the ones that are upon you. They will look on and they will see what you're doing and what you don't do. When you show up and when you don't show up, he looks at your heart. He knows where your heart is.
Right.
You might even be here and your heart might be somewhere else. You might be even be thinking, you know, this is the last time I'll go to that church. They always rebuke me. Oh, how many times I have wanted to bring here a soft message. I've told my wife, I want to bring a soft message. I want to bring something that would just edify, that would lift you up. But every time I turn around, the Lord leads me to something to rebuke. We need to be rebuked. But you know, he says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You know, the Lord's not looking for a perfect heart. He knows you don't have a perfect heart. He knows how wicked your heart is. He tells you in the scriptures, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But he's looking for a perfect heart towards him.
Amen.
It's a perfect heart towards him. That's what he's looking for. In other words, he wants you to repent. He wants you to seek his face. If you don't seek his face, God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He says, I never change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, he says over here, I will forsake you all the way from the beginning of the scriptures, from Genesis, all the way through the Bible. If you seek me, you will find me. He wants you to seek him. But you know, he says here, Herein hast thou done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. I wonder if we have done foolish. Or maybe even better, maybe you have done foolish. I know that many times I'm not perfect with the Lord. I do many things that are wrong. Many times I'm here and I wish I was somewhere else. Many times I'm given a gospel tract and I wish I was riding a horse. Maybe you wish you were fishing or playing golf or doing some other things. We all like to have our own idols. We need to, when it's time to preach, it's time to preach. When it's time to give, it's time to give. When it's time to seek the Lord, it's time to seek the Lord. But you know, let me just make it real plain in case I haven't yet. If you're here and you haven't gotten saved, you're not born again, you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus, let me tell you, it's still the same thing. You have to seek the Lord. He's ready. He's got his hand extended. He's been calling you, but maybe you just haven't had a good ear. He says, he that has ear, let him hear. He that has eyes, let him see. He wants you to see. He wants you to understand that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that shed his blood for you. He's the only one that can save you.
Amen.
And if this morning, if you would just repent of your sins the way we all should, the way Esau should have, then he will take you. You will become one of the beloved. You will switch in from cursing to life. You will be from death to life, or from cursing to blessing. You will be transferred from darkness to light. The Lord wants to save your soul.
Amen.
We're going to sing 249.